Well, good evening, Remnant. Welcome to 7x70. I want to thank you for joining us here. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's not quite Passover yet, April 1st, 2021. I want to thank you for joining us here tonight. And I guess I'll just start off with an apology. And I'll ask for your forgiveness. I calculated the Passover date wrong, starting of the year. You would think that I would have that figured out by now, but hey, we all make mistakes, and I'll be the first one to admit it. You know, I did not make a mistake when I got married to my wife, who I will have been married to for 35 years this year. Heck, this month. I didn't make a mistake having children, didn't make a mistake in joining this ministry and becoming a Christian. Didn't make a mistake moving out here almost 20 years ago. But I made a mistake in this year's date. I missed just the start of it. And so we had put out, and it's all me, that we had put out April 1st for the Passover. So it's just 24 hours from now is when we are going to celebrate it at the church. We will observe the Passover tomorrow evening, April 2nd, Friday, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and 6 p.m. on the West Coast. We'll have a live message. Brother Jonathan has a live message, and we'll have communion. And so we encourage you to do that. It's not a Sabbath, okay? Want to point that out. And so we'll talk about that a little bit, but I wanted to apologize. And let's start out with a word of prayer, and we'll have the phone lines open in just a little bit as well. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for this day of life. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord, that you forgive us when we make mistakes. You understand that we aren't perfect. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin that you offer to us, for the price that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ paid to redeem us, your people Israel. And we thank you for that. Thank you for making a way. Lord, in this day and time that we are in, Father, prepare our hearts and our minds for this evening and for the Passover tomorrow, Lord, that we would draw nearer to you willingly and have a desire, Lord, to learn more of your word and to be led deeper into, Father, the understanding that you would want us to have in these trying times. Lord, we know that these perilous times, they come upon us for our testing, that we should not be surprised at them. So help us to see with your eyes. Help us to see the events of the day and the things going on, Lord, for what it is, that as Gideon understood, that it is you, it is your word that is coming true, Lord. And we thank you for that. I thank you for that. Guide and direct my words and thoughts tonight, and let all that I think, say, and do be glorifying to you and encouraging and edifying to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, as I said, Passover tomorrow night. It's a live message tonight, so it is tomorrow night. You might hear this message at some other time, but we will be gathering, the good Lord willing, tomorrow night at the LaPorte Church of Christ. And we'll have a video stream similar to how we do for church on Sunday mornings. So if you're not, if you haven't been joining us on Sunday morning, well, Friday evening will be a good opportunity for you to see, I don't want to say what you've been missing, but you can join us on Friday evening. So I encourage you to do that. I don't think we have time tonight to read through all the Passover scriptures, but there's a couple of them that I'll put those out there that I encourage you to read. You know, many of us know the Egypt story of the children of Israel that were in Egypt and that they were brought out of Egypt. If you go back to Exodus 12, okay, Exodus 12, you can read of the Passover, okay? Now, you can read the several verses before it. It's only chapter 12 in Exodus to get a feel for it, to kind of get back in if you want to. If you remember, the Lord told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Well, Pharaoh didn't think too much of that, so the plagues came, whether it was boils or hail or locusts, the darkness, the cattle that died. And I want to make one mention. I don't have time to go through all of us, but in the darkness, it's in Exodus 10, darkness over the land, starting in verse 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. So can you imagine that? Now, that was not a solar eclipse. That was darkness. It said that may be felt. Okay? A darkness that could be felt. Now, many people today and at different times in our, you might say, modern day history have had feelings like that, to where there was just a problem, a tugging at their spirit, an issue in the land that could be felt. Oh, you could just feel it. Well, this was not a good feeling. This was one of the plagues, a darkness over the land for 3 days. It says the people did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. They didn't leave their houses. Everything shut down for 3 days. And it was to show that God was in control and he was doing this. But I want to read the next part of the verse here to you. It says, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. See, and I've read that somewhere else. It said there was light in the land of Goshen. Over where the Israelites were, they had light in their dwellings. And so I use this remnant to let you see, and we know that everything in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of Christ. It all points to Christ. We know that. But the stories are there for our learning, for our application. And so when it tells us here that the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings, there is, I hope you see the distinction that's made there. That it wasn't the brotherhood of Egypt. It wasn't just that, oh, we're all in this together. No, because they weren't. There had certainly been a distinction with the sons of Israel being slaves for centuries, being slaves for generations and generations. There was a distinction there. There was a distinction at, I'm sure, the names that they were called and the discrimination that was upon them. And we're seeing a little bit of that today. We're seeing that distinction in the discrimination, the shootings, the agenda that the left-wing enemies of Christ have. I bring that up, I pause here in Exodus just to touch base. You know, there was another mass shooting, I think 4 or 5 killed out in California. I heard it on the radio today. I saw some notes on it that, a man goes in a business complex, locks the gate behind him, and kills 4. He gets into a shootout, gets shot with police. He's in jail. And it's Fernando Miguel Magali Hernandez. It is a Hispanic that shot and killed these people. So all of a sudden, see, at first, it's another mass shooting. But you watch and see if this doesn't just fall off the face of the earth, just like the Boulder shooter fell off the face of the earth. You don't hear anything about that anymore in the national media. Why? Because it doesn't fit the agenda of the discrimination against the white Caucasian male, who they want to be the shooters. So they want to denigrate and come against. It's what our enemy is doing, because we have turned from our God, is why. But that is what is happening. The Boulder shooter, no, he was a Muslim, a Syrian, Ali Asiwad Wasala, whatever it was, here it is, Ahmad Ali Aliwa Alisa, a Syrian-born Muslim that shot and killed 10 white people. Now, you haven't heard that on the news, what little bit you did hear. Now, Boulder is not all white, okay? It is not. It is has a, as the world would put it, a rich cultural diversity. And I'm sure that at the King Supers, I know any time I go to the grocery store, and we are much less diverse here in Laramie than Boulder, that any time I go into the grocery store, I see different ethnicities. I'll see people that are Caucasian. I'll see people that are colored. I'll see people that are maybe Oriental, Chinese or Korean or Japanese. Okay, we have some of those up in Laramie, like everywhere else does, and it's not a big deal. In Boulder, it is much more diverse. But this Muslim killed 10 white people. How about that? You don't hear that. That distinction is never made. That's part of that discrimination. That's part of that distinction that the enemy makes. Now, many times, you know, we don't point that out. Oh, but the enemy does. The enemy does. And I'm just trying to open your eyes, folks, and maybe give you a nugget that you can share with those that whose eyes are still closed, whose ears are still closed, who don't have a clue, who fall into that statement in what Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because they don't understand that we are at war. It's just they just don't understand. So I'm hoping that we can get a nugget or two to you that might help you in helping your friends and your neighbors. But watch and see. Just like this this Boulder, Colorado shooting, it's gone. It's gone. You don't hear anything else about it because it doesn't fit the left's agenda. The shooting in California, this Hispanic man that killed four, including a 9-year-old boy, I think, it swept under the rug. You won't hear anything about it because it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, we've had a new president, so to speak, for what? 3 months? 2.5 months? And can you sense, just like in Egypt, there was a darkness that could be felt? I tell you, I can sense, I can feel the different spirit that is in this land. It just is there. When you talk to people, you know, they just shake their head. I just don't know. It's just a mess. And I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it is what I hear all the time. There is a different spirit. When you read through the Old Testament, what would happen when a good king that was doing right in the sight of the Lord, what would happen when he came to power and tore down the Baals and the Asherahs and got rid of the cult, the temple prostitutes? The people prospered. And if the people were prospering and then a different king came in and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. This is our history, folks, a quick history lesson. What would happen? He would reinstitute those things and the people would flock to it in a heartbeat. Just that fast. The people would go and follow the spirit of the leader. And that is what we are seeing. It's not only gas prices that are going up. It's this spirit in the land that is getting more corrupt and just more acceptance of anything goes. I hate to see it. But I think that it is that, as it we read here in Exodus 11, part of that darkness which could be felt. Now, it's not to discourage us. For those with eyes to see, it should encourage us that just as in the days of the Exodus, that distinction was being made, that distinction is made again today. It is. Between the true follower of Jesus Christ, yes, the believer, but also the obedient, the wise virgins that have bought the oil, that have paid the price, and done what they needed to do, and not just believed, not just were waiting, but were ready and prepared. See, there's a distinction there. There is. Well, anyway, Exodus 12, the Passover story. So I encourage you to, you know, to read over it. A couple of the verses I have highlighted in my Bible, verse 7 of Exodus 12, says, "Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it." And the blood, you know, Exodus 12:13, it tells us that now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so that is highlighted as well, because verse 12 says, "For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." Verse 13, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." That distinction had to be made. I remember our pastor talking about those that heard the instructions, I'm sure, of Moses. However it was, you know, speak to all the congregation saying, and he gave them the instructions for the Passover lamb. That I'm sure there were plenty in there that said, "Well, we've eaten the lamb. We don't really have to put the blood on the doorpost. You know, we don't really have to. We believe. We're just like everybody else, but we don't have to do this. That's works. Who needs works? We have faith." and they lost their firstborn if they didn't put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. Now, you don't have to believe that. Me, I believe this story. I believe it for then, and I believe it for now. Now, no, we don't go out and sacrifice a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel anymore. We don't do that. We don't. Well, why not? They talk about, you know, after that, they would have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and, you know, we don't observe that. You can. It's certainly a healthy thing to do. You know, maybe we should. I would say maybe we're just not there yet. Okay? Maybe we're just not there yet. Okay? We probably will be. Maybe we will be one day if that's what we are to do. Okay? So, Exodus 12, the Passover. If you also read, I would recommend that you read that. Read Exodus 12. It's a good time, maybe today, tonight, tomorrow, before we gather, to read Exodus 12 on the Passover. And then also, if you don't get a chance to read anything else, flip up to Numbers 9. I have that highlighted also. Numbers 9, also under the heading of the Passover. And guess what you see in Numbers 9? This is the, let me get over there, and I can just read it to you. But it's basically the first year, in the first month of the second year that they were in the wilderness. Okay? In the second year, it says, "Now let the sons of Israel observe the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall observe it at its appointed time." And as best as we can figure, then that will be tomorrow. In the evening, in the twilight, is when we will be celebrating the Passover. Okay? And that's what we will do. We encourage you to join us. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you don't have a full understanding of it. Join us. Okay? Join us for it. And hopefully, listening to Brother John and his message, you will, well, have come to a better understanding of it. Okay? That's our hope for you. It is. So, Numbers 9. Now, something else happened with Numbers 9, and I'm almost hesitant to tell you tonight. Maybe we'll wait till Saturday morning and talk about it. But if you read Numbers 9, it's very informative. Like we said earlier, how everything in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of Christ. It's the leading to and the introducing and showing the need. But it points to it. And you read in Numbers 9 of the grace that our God has for us. The grace that He has, that He has His law that is perfect. But just like when we have plans for our children, when our children are young and don't know, we make exceptions. It's not that we bend the rules, but we made the rules, and so we can change them a bit. And so when you read Numbers 9, you see how we have and we serve a compassionate God. We do. We do. Folks, phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. Going to take a quick break here, play a song, and I'm going to grab me a drink of water. Be right back.
Just in case you don't. Read His Word. times. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and killings are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. Sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Folks, I hope you can feel the kingdom coming as we heard Carl Klang singing of that. I hope that you can. That's one of the, I think, the movements in the spirit that is happening. I'm having people not in our ministry, you might call them Judeos out there, that are neighbors that are contacting me and saying, you know, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We feel it. We see it coming. You know, I had one the other day contact me. He said, I expect the clouds to split open any day. And so if others are seeing that as well, and so that distinction is being made. So read Exodus 12 about the Passover. We encourage you to do that. Read Numbers 9 of the second year that, hey, supposed to do it. Even in exile, even in the wilderness wanderings, they were to do it. You can read through it. You can read in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 that they had not been observing the Passover, and you get a they finally came up and called for the Passover to be reinstated. So 2 Chronicles 30. That was Hezekiah. I encourage you to read that as well. You know, it. Thus the thing was right in the sight of the king and all the assembly. And so they sent word out to gather for the Passover. And we've done that as well. And I can tell you, our prayer has been and will continue to be, as Hezekiah prayed, in 2 Chronicles 30, he says, may the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. So the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. And so there again, you see in 2 Chronicles 30, when you read about it, of the reinstating of the Passover by this godly king, that he prayed for the people, his heart was right, And God heard and answered the prayers. He did. And so it doesn't take a lot, a huge Bible study. Of course, the more you study it, the better understanding you'll get. But it doesn't take a huge, extended, long Bible study to look into the Passover. Just a few scriptures. Exodus 12, Numbers 9, 2 Chronicles 30. And so I encourage you, now is the time. Now is the time, because folks, that distinction where there was light for the children of Israel, that I think that is that we're going to see that again. That as this Babylon falls, as this house of cards tumbles, that there's going to be that, there is that distinction. And it is going to be made more and more prominent. The left, the enemies of God, those that hate God, that love death, the antichrists, as the and those that, well, that just have turned away from God, they are making that distinction. They are. They are drawing that line. They are digging that ditch, making it broader and bigger between them and us. They are the ones that are doing that, that are, well, defying God over and over again and saying, no, we will do as we wish. We will not serve God. We will just, whether it's abortion or same-sex marriage or transgenderism, do you wonder why they're trying to allow children to change their gender and to take these drugs? And because they hate God. And they want to destroy what God has done. And so they have made that distinction. We're going to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. We have to remember this when we are doing our best to share these truths with others. Is that the natural man just, they look at these things, and the natural man includes, I think, those that can repent and those that can't. But they look at these things as foolishness. And that's okay. That's how it is. We plant the seed. We do our best to do that, to plant the seed. Well, Remnant, again, the phone lines are open tonight, this April 1st, 2021, 307-745-5913. I mentioned that we read in the Old Testament of the Passover. Today, we do not go out and take a sacrificial lamb and slaughter it and skin it and roast it and put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, because Christ came as that sacrificial lamb. As John said when he beheld him, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that is what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sacrificial lamb, our kinsman redeemer, that is what he did. When we continue reading in 1 Corinthians 6, we have to remember that this is a letter to the church of God by Paul. And so to you, the church out there, the ecclesiastes, the called out ones, those to the Christians, that is who the church is. As he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, by the will of God, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And so this was written to the church then, and it's written for us, the church, now. Okay? For now. And in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 talks about not boasting. Not boasting? What's that got to do with Passover? Well, let's read. Your boasting is not good. Verse 6, the second part of verse 6. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? So, just stay away from all of it, he says. Verse 7, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. And of course, he's talking about sin here. The leaven is sin. So you could read it that clean out the old sin so that you may be a new creation, just as you are in fact without sin when we are in Christ, is what it means there. It goes on and says, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old leaven, the old sin, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Folks, today Christ is our Passover. Christ is that lamb. It is his blood that was applied to our door and our lintel, to our life, when, in obedience, we have, yes, believed him, when we have come into relationship with him, when we have repented and been baptized, contacted that blood of Christ, had it applied to us, not just believed in it, but had it applied. Christ as that sacrificial lamb. When you go back and read it in Isaiah, I would encourage you, read Isaiah 53. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded, he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being, of our peace, fell upon him. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. And verse 12, because he, meaning Christ, poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. See, he came down and became sin. He who had not sinned, he who knew no sin, he became that sin. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with sinners like me and you. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. That's for me and you. He is our intercessor, the intermediary between, well, that we need to be able to come before God, only through Christ. Isaiah 52, you were sold, verse 3, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. And when you read this, you see that, man, that all of that reference back, you can go back to Psalms 44 and Jeremiah 15, and how this was prophesied and how it came to pass in Christ. Let's read it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. So we are to, as it says here, to clean out the old lump. Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Get rid of the sin. And how do you do that? You repent. You repent. You get washed clean and forgiven. Clean out the old leaven. Clean out the old sin, so that you may be a new lump, a new creation in Christ. And that's what we are. When we are baptized with Christ, the old man, the old woman dies. That's the sharing in his death. And when we are brought up out of that water, we are brought up as a new creation. And we, the Bible tells us, if we share in the glory of his death, we will share in the glory of his resurrection. We come up that new creature, born again of the water and the Spirit. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate not with old leaven, not with old sin, not as the old man, not as we used to be, nor with the leaven, nor with the sin of malice and wickedness. You know, not with spite, not with evil intentions in our heart or on our lips, but with the unleavened bread, the sinless bread of life, of sincerity and truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. But when we celebrate, when we come and partake of communion that we will do tomorrow night, we examine ourselves and we ask for forgiveness where we are convicted and need to ask for forgiveness. We don't judge others. We don't. Oh, there's times to judge others, but not at this time. No, this is between me and God. This is between you and God. We confess ourselves, we humble ourselves, and we remember that God spared us in Egypt. He spared those that were obedient to him. The plague did not come to them. The death angel passed over them when he saw the blood. And we sing that today. When I see the blood, I will pass. I will pass over you. I shared this last night. I may share it again soon, but it's a quote from John Newton that a Christian brother sent. He said, "I am not the man I ought to be. I am not the man I wish to be. And I am not the man I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I am not the man I used to be." And I say amen to that. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. We are all still a work in progress. We are all told, as we're told here in Corinthians, how to celebrate, how to do, how we are to be. Not to be immoral, but to be servants of Christ. Of Christ. To come together in unity with the brethren. Not to celebrate as the old sinner would, but with sincerity and truth. We have Pastor's book, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy, and Calculating the Passover. If you have it, if you read on page 4, it talks about the God's timetable, Abib 1, starting on the spring equinox, and then the day starting at noon. And so we have the spring equinox, and the day starts at noon, and that's day one. And that's where we start counting. That's where we get to Abib starting the first month of the biblical solar year. Tomorrow being the 14th, starting at 1 o'clock. And then so tomorrow evening being the proper time to observe the Passover. We have the book, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy. We'd be glad to send it out to you. We've sent quite a few out these last few weeks. We have. We also have another book Pastor Peters did called Communion. It's the need for communion. It's blessings and curses and need. And so we have that as well. We'll be glad to send that out to you. It is foundational teaching on communion, on when and how we do that. So if you're unfamiliar with those, we encourage you to contact us, and we'll be glad to get those for you. So Folks, we're running out of time. Not only tonight, but I do believe the days have been shortened, as the Bible says, that if the days had not been shortened, that none of us would make it. But God is patient. He is not slow, as we consider slowness. But the Bible tells us that He is patient and long-suffering, not wanting any to perish. Although many will, He doesn't want that. But He wants repentance and returning to His way. And that's what we cry out for. That's what we seek when we pray. That's what we seek when we share His word, His truths, as we read, as we are, you know, as we come before and celebrate this Passover with sincerity and truth, as we read in 1 Corinthians 5. Because we care for one another. We care. He says here, the end of chapter 4, He says, "Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness?" And right now, folks, Christ comes with love and a spirit of gentleness. But flip back to Revelations. Not going to tonight. You go back and read when He comes, when the sky does split open, when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, returns. It is on a white horse with a flaming sword to rule with a rod of iron. Right now, it's a spirit of love and gentleness. But when He returns, it's not in relation to taking away sin. No, the Bible says when that time comes, burp, it stops. And those that are holy will be holy still, and those that are filthy will be filthy still. The time now is a time that Christ and God Almighty is dealing with us, with all of us, with love and a spirit of gentleness. That time will not be forever. Remnant, I encourage you to join us tomorrow night for the observance of the Passover. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org for the live video stream. We'll start streaming about 6:30, 6:45 with some music, and we'll have a live service at 7 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern, at 6 o'clock on the West Coast, Friday night, April 2nd. We do hope that you will join us. Well, Remnant, that's about all the voice I've got tonight. Join us tomorrow night, and then back here on the radio Saturday morning. Same time, but in the a.m., 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. Eastern. Join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll be here. We'll talk about some current events, and maybe we'll read a little bit more in Numbers 9. But we'll wait till then for that. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are His. We thank you for your prayers and your support. Good night.
Did you ever get the feeling, as you're staring at the ceiling, that this game of life we play ain't fair? Seems as fast as we can make it, there's a hand that grabs and takes it till they plant us in a grave somewhere. Like a rodent on a treadmill, we keep pushing for it uphill, but we never seem to get too far. Well, if you think you're being taken, then you're ready to awaken to the truth of what we really are. We're all indentured, servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered, feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some socialistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is, we're all saps who pay our taxes, and And that is why the banksters keep us dumb. Could the state of our condition be the product of omission, what we didn't learn in public schools? And did our fathers all through history all fight and die for liberty so we could play the tyrant's fools? And can you call it education when it's all indoctrination to obey the hidden powers that be? Did we fight the revolution? Did we win the world wars just to slumber into slavery? We're all indentured, servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance.
To the same simple faith as a child I once knew. Like a prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comfort of home and the God I outgrew. I have returned to the God of my childhood, Bethlehem's babe, the prophet's Messiah. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name, I have returned. I have returned to the God of my mother with unfailing faith for the child of her heart. She said, bring them up the way that you want them. Thank God when they're grown, they'll never depart. I have returned to the God of my mother. I learned at her knee, he's lily of the valley. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the God of my father, the most godlike man a child could know. I just heard a shout from the angels in glory, praising the Lord, a child has come home. I have returned to the God of my Father, creator of heaven and earth, God of the universe. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name, I have returned. I have returned to the Jesus of Judah. On my knee I did fall, where the wall now stands. This lesson I learned as I worked my way homeward. The Savior of all comfort to man. I have returned to the father of Abraham, the shepherd of Moses, who called him the great I am. He's Jesus.